A reading from the Holy Gospel according to John. There was a man named Lazarus who lived in the village of Bethany with the two sisters, Mary and Martha, and he was ill. It was the same Mary, the sister of the sick man, Lazarus, who anointed the Lord with ointment, wiped his feet with her hair. The sisters sent this message to Jesus: "Lord, the man you love is ill." On receiving the message, Jesus said, "This sickness will end not in death, but in God's glory, and through it the Son of God will be glorified." Jesus loved Martha and her sister, Lazarus. Yet when he heard that Lazarus was ill, he stayed where he was for two more days before saying to the disciples, "Let us go to Judea." The disciples said, "Rabbi, it is not long since the Jews wanted to stone you. Are you going back again?" Jesus replied, "Are there not 12 hours in the day? A man can walk in the daytime without stumbling because he has the light of this world to see by. But if he walks at night, he stumbles, because there is no light to guide him." He said that, and then he added, "Our friend Lazarus is resting. I am going to wake him." The disciples said to him, "Lord, if he is able to rest, he's sure to get better." The phrase Jesus used referred to the death of Lazarus, but they thought by rest he meant sleep. So Jesus put it plainly, "Lazarus is dead. And for your sake, I am glad I was not there, because now you will believe. But let us go to him." Then Thomas, known as the twin, said to the other disciples, "Let us go too and die with him." On arriving, Jesus found that Lazarus had been in the tomb for 4 days already. Bethany is only about 2 miles from Jerusalem. Many Jews had come to Martha and Mary to sympathize with them over their brother. When Martha heard that Jesus had come, she went out to meet him, while Mary remained sitting in the house. Martha said to Jesus, "If you had been here, my brother would not have died, but I know that even now, whatever you ask of God, he will grant you." "Your brother," said Jesus to her, "will rise again." Martha said, "I know he will rise again, at the resurrection, on the last day." Jesus said, "I am the resurrection and the life. If anyone believes in me, even though he dies, he will live. And whoever lives and believes in me will never die. Do you believe this?" "Yes, Lord," she said. "I believe that you are the Christ, the Son of God, the one who was to come into this world." When she had said this, she went and called her sister Mary, saying in a low voice, "The Master is here and wants to see you." Hearing this, Mary got up quickly and went to him. Jesus had not yet come into the village. He was still at the place where Martha had met him. Then the Jews who were in the house, sympathizing with Mary, saw her get up so quickly and go out. They followed her, thinking she was going to the tomb to weep there. Mary went to Jesus, and as soon as she saw him, she threw herself at his feet, saying, "Lord, if you had been here, my brother would not have died." At the sight of her tears, and those of the Jews who followed her, Jesus said in great distress, with a sigh that came straight from the heart, "Where have you put him?" And they said, "Lord, come and see." Jesus wept, and the Jews said, "See how he loved him." But there were some who remarked, "He opened the eyes of a blind man. Could he not have prevented this man's death?" Still sighing, Jesus reached the tomb. It was a cave with a stone to close the opening. Jesus said, "Take the stone away." Martha said to him, "Lord, by now you will smell. This is the fourth day." Jesus replied, "Have I not told you that if you believe, you will see the glory of God. And so they took away the stone. Then Jesus lifted up his eyes and said, Father, I thank you for hearing my prayer. I knew indeed that you always hear me, but I speak for the sake of all these who stand about me, so that they may believe it was you who sent me. And when he had said this, he cried in a loud voice, Lazarus, here, come out. The dead man came out, his feet and hands bound with bands of stuff, and a cloth around his face. Jesus said to them, Unbind him, let him go free. Many of the Jews who had come to visit Mary and had seen what he did, believed in him. This is the Gospel of the Lord. The Lord says this, I am now going to open your grave. Tremendously dramatic statement to make. And it becomes powerful for us only when we've made it our own, when we listen to that sentence for ourselves. I'm going to open your grave, says the Lord. Part of our difficulty in realizing what our faith means is the disease itself. You go on so long becoming worn and exhausted. You go on without noticing the toll that an unhealed and unsaved life takes on you. You become a kind of zombie, the walking dead. And this kind of weather which has shrouded us for the last 2 months practically does not help. It's a good image. We walk around in a kind of twilight, a kind of dim grey light around us, not realizing that we are dead. April is the cruelest month, says the poet, mixing memory with desire, stirring the dull roots with spring rain. The experience of being awakened is a cruel one. But that drowsy and somnolent dullness which we learn to live in is much crueler, because it is the power of death over us. I think we should think that there is a grave in the heart, covered with a heavy, cold stone, and that it's so deep inside us that we can pretend it's not there, but it is there, and our life is imprisoned in it. And where there is a grave, there is certainly corruption. Jesus walks amongst us as the one who has come to give us life. And when he meets the mourning sisters, there is a great deal of light for us. It's interesting how the two sisters behave. How Martha comes hurtling out of the village because she's seen him from so far away and throws all her grief at him, almost belligerently. If you had been here, you wouldn't have died. Impossible to miss the reproach. She's one of these people who's
blurts out exactly what she's feeling. She tries to keep it hidden, but it will come out eventually. You have to love that in somebody if you're going to be their friend, if they're like that. And Jesus meets her very coolly and calmly and promises her the resurrection. And when she brushes him away, I know at the last day, he says, I am the resurrection. That's a very loving thing to say, because Jesus is there in front of her, and he can comfort her for her loneliness. And she makes her act of faith in him, that great act of faith that Peter makes, you are Christ, the Son of the living God. And then Mary comes, very quickly, as soon as she knows he's there. And she approaches him differently. She calls him Lord, first of all. Martha gave him no title. She says, Lord, if you had been here, you wouldn't have died. But she says it from the ground. She's in an attitude of worship. And this is too much for Jesus. And he utters that wordless sound, which I've written a bit about in the bulletin, if you have time to read back the bulletin this week. I would call a competition to see if anybody can discover in our rich language the right word for what Jesus does. We can't really read out that he snorted like a horse, which is what the word says. But nor is it proper to say in great distress with a sigh that came straight from the heart, which sounds very wet. And it doesn't convey the anger which Jesus obviously felt when he saw the grief Mary and the other people with her. And John uses the same word, but what happens is Jesus stands in front of the tomb. When he sees the stone, which is placed over the tomb of Lazarus, his friend. Now, he's this anger at Jesus before the grave of the one he loves. Is what we should appropriate ourselves. We have been slaughtered so many times. We've learned our place, and we've posted into that deep grave inside us so many things which God has given us. We have weighed them down with the evil that's been pumped into our lives. Cruelty, heartlessness, the failure of other people towards us, all the things that have let us down, all the things that have refused us, denied us our place and our value. We've accepted it all inside us. Things that have happened so long ago we've forgotten even what they're like. And we have accepted sin into our lives too. We've seen ourselves as agents of meanness and heartlessness. We've experienced our lives as able to exploit and to ignore. And all of this has contributed to the life that lies dead in us. And Jesus, humanly moved by our disasters, is angry. And that's an anger of God, which I think we need. Not the anger of an almighty and vengeful monster, but the anger of a God who has become what we are when he sees the damage and loss which afflicts those he loves. The image I want to offer you to think about this Lenten Sunday is simply the one command that he gives in this story. Take away the stone. We all know that in our past where all these deaths have taken place for us. We know that the journey back into those areas is painful. It is a cruel journey, going back to revisit all the battlefields of our past. The things we have found so painful that we've weighed them down with that cold stone. Move the stone, says Jesus. And Martha, always the most practical, says, look, it's going to make a terrible stench if you move that stone. You're not going to like it. Jesus said, have I not told you that if you have faith, you will see the glory of God? Take away the stone. There is nothing you and I can do about what lies under that stone. But if we have faith, we can shift the thing out of the way and let the Lord in to where we lie dead. And if that happens, then there is hope for us at Easter. Let us proclaim our faith.